Okay, Mir Hashem, will finish off for the week with some more Divrei Torah for Parshas Vayishlach from the Great Gedolim of America. Tonight we'll learn some Divrei Torah from the Great Gaon, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadok Livracha. Some really beautiful commentaries and insights on Parshas Vayishlach. So in the beginning of the Parsha, we know that Yaakov is, as we already discussed, Yaakov is sending Malachim to Esav, sending him a message about their pending encounter. And the message that he sends with the Malachim, Im Lavan Garti Ve'ichar Arata, and he continues, Vayihili Shor V'chamar Tzon V'evd V'shivcha V'eshchal Agir La'adonil V'tzuchim Be'inecha. I have oxes and donkeys and cattle and slaves and female servants, and I'm contacting you to find favor in your eyes. So Rashi comments on this pasuk, I have shor v'chamor. Rashi says, derech eretz lomar al shvarim harbe shor. That it's derech eretz, that it's standard, that it's normal to say that if you have many oxes, I have a shor, I have one ox. Adam lomar l'chaveiro, and he gives an example, a person would say to his friend, balayla kara hatarnegol. At night, your rooster was making some noise. Veno omer karu atarnegolim. You don't say all of your roosters. When I've read this Rashi in the past, I've always thought the Rashi is making a linguistic comment. Derech eretz, meaning that it's just the way people speak. It's a more, you know, more poetic or a nicer way of speaking. Instead of saying I have oxes, I have ox, I have donkey, I have shor, I have chamor. In Hebrew, it has a ring to it. Shor, chamor. It refers to a multitude. It can refer to a multitude of the item, oxes or donkeys. But it's a more refined type of way of speech. Derech eretz lomar al shvarim harbe shor. But Rav Moshe understands Rashi a little bit differently, and I think this is such a beautiful insight. I think it's a little bit al derech drush, in my humble opinion. But it's possible that he did say it as a pshat in Rashi. I think that is up to interpretation. It says Rav Moshe, this is in Darash Moshe, in Chelak Al, Parshav Yishlach, and the Pasuk Vayili Shor V'chamar. It says Rav Moshe, L'chora Perush Derech Eretz Hu L'mayla. B'tzarech Lavin, Eze Mayla Yish Bekan. So Rav Moshe says off the bat, that when Rashi says it's Derech Eretz to call Shvarim Harbe Shor, to call many oxes an ox, Rav Moshe says, no, this is a Mayla, this is like derech eretz, like the way we use derech eretz. This is an act of decency, an act of nobility. It's a maila. It's something that it's a complementary act, way of communication. So, what is complementary about saying, instead of saying oxes, saying ox? And Moshe says the following beautiful insight. And again, very very relevant for American Jewry, modern Jewry, as we'll see. It says Rav Moshe, V'nira shehu shelo lehitpa'er be'etzem ha'ashirus, v'gam lehodos la'ashem yizbarach, af al shor echad shenosin, v'kol shkein al ha'shef ha'bracha shenosin, v'lo lishkoach ka'eish sheyesh la'ashirus, shegam al davar katan tzarech lodos. Rav Moshe says two incredible points. Number one, no need to show off. When Moshe says, when Yaakovinu says, Derech Eretz Lomar Al Shvarim Harbe Shor, there's no reason to show off. There's no reason to be haughty and accentuate your own wealth. Say, you know, okay, I have an ox. I don't need to tell you about my whole flock of oxes. I have an ox. That it's a derech eretz. It's a complementary way of speaking that's not showing off. That's not being haughty. That's not being egotistical. That's point number one. And point number two is, say a person only does have one ox, is that not something that they should be grateful for? Is that not something that they should be thankful to Hashem for the bracha of the one ox? That also is a cause for gratitude and appreciation for HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gave that bracha. V'hu kachilak yesh li kol di'akov yesh li rav de'esav. And Rav Moshe says that we see this this motif, we see this mentality of Yaakov Avinu when they finally meet up. That when they finally meet up, and they're describing a little bit what they have, their experiences, and the blessings that they've been given. So they have Yosef, Yaakov and his brother Esav. They view or they describe their own finances or their own state in life in two fundamentally different ways. Vayomer Esav, this is in Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Tes. Vayomer Esav Yeshli Rav. Esav says, "I have so much. You hold on to your stuff. All of these gifts and all these things. It's okay. I have so much stuff. I don't know what to do with it all. I can't handle anymore." And Yaakov says, "No, kachnas birchasi asher huvas lach. No, take this blessing, take the gift that I want to give you." It's in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Why ki chanani elokim? Because God has graced me. God has blessed me. V'chi yeshli kol v'yifatzer bo. And he entreated him, he begged him, and Esav took it from him. Yeshli kol. Right, so Esav famously says, Yeshli rav, I have so much, quantitatively, I have so much stuff. And Yaakov says, Yeshli kol. This goes back to, I think, an idea that we learned about from Avraham Cutler, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, by Avram Avinu, that Avram had kol, that Hashem berach b'kol, that he had this great meat of kol, seeing a completeness, a shlemus, a complacency in what he had. And Yaakov Avinu is communicating this same thing here as well. What does it mean, says Rav Moshe, that by Yaakov Yishli kol, and Esav Yishli rav, de kol perusho mashu tzarich, I have what I need. I have everything that I need. God give me what I need. When I have a lot, so you're qualifying what you have, and you're showing all of that which you have. The gam kol who yachol umar sheyesh lo ki Hashem isbarach vaday noten lo kol mash tzarich. Adam ki hu hazan ufarnes lakol, right? And if a person has real emuna, real bitachon, right, it's an incredible level that we should all be zochot to achieve, but it takes work and it takes consistency and contemplation. But if a person really gets to that level of emunah bitachon, then they really can properly and honestly say, Yesh l'kol, I have everything I need. I have everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give me, and therefore I have everything that I'm meant to have. Aval rav, but when a person looks at what they have and sees it quantitatively, that I have so much, Einu yachol lomar sheyesh lo, Aval rav, Einu yachol lomar sheyesh lo, da kol hu shel Hashem Yisbarach, v'tzarich adam lashgiach lasot ratzon Hashem Yisbarach, sh'az Yeshma lasot bekol mashanotein lo. Shememelo eino rav, because a person should strive to get to the point that they don't have rav, they don't have a lot, or they don't want to have a lot, because a lot is a quantitative experience, and it's looking at your property, it's looking at that which you own dimension of your life that is, you know, that is separate from Hashem's hashgacha, from Hashem's interaction with you. But when a person sees all dimensions of their life and even their property as what Hashem has granted you, what Hashem has gifted you, so then you have kol because you have everything that Hashem wants you to have. Mimela eino rav, so then you never have a lot because you have what you're meant to have. And it's never too little, it's never too much. It's exactly what it's meant to be. Sheperu show you ter mi atzorach, because rav means you have more than you're meant to have, right? I have so much. I have extra. I have a surplus. Ela kol kvi atzorach. But when a person feels like they have kol, even though it is possibly quantitatively a great amount, but it's not a lot. I don't have a lot of stuff because I just have that which Hashem wanted me to have, and I'm going to use it for the Ratzon Hashem. I'm going to use it for that which I believe Hashem wants me to use it for. Kemo she'amar v'gam asa Yaakov, and this is what we see by Yaakov Avinu. So such a beautiful insight there. Moshe is saying in this line, Yeshli by in Rashi, that Derech Eretz Lomar Al Shvarim Harbe Shor, that Rashi's that Yaakov Avinu is saying an expression of modesty, an expression of how he viewed what he had, that he didn't feel a need to aggrandize himself, he didn't feel a need to show off, but he's expressing what he has in a kind and humble demeanor. And a modest demeanor. And obviously this is a very, very fundamental teaching for all of us in Western civilization, in the modern world, when so many of us, Baruch Hashem, are blessed with so much blessings, quantitatively, in terms of all of the property and wealth and objects and devices and gadgets that we're blessed with, everybody to their extent, and people who are lacking, Hashem should open up all of His warehouses of Shefa and Bracha upon them, that everybody should feel comfortable and safe and healthy and secure with all that they have. With the brachas that we are zochet to, we always have to remember to keep it in context, to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which we have, and certainly not to be self-aggrandizing regarding the things that we have, but to say, Yeshli Shor, Yeshli Kol, I have what I have, and I don't need to rub it in anybody else's face. And also at the same time, I need to be grateful and proud and thankful to Hashem for that which I have. That's Rav Moshe's first idea in Parshas Vayishlach, and certainly something that we can try to work on, to think about, and incorporate from our great Av Yaakov Avinu. Continuing in the Parsha, when Yaakov Avinu continues, Yaakov Avinu goes on and has this encounter with as the parasha goes on, as the psukim go on, and Yaakov is coming close to this encounter with Esav, so the message comes back that Esav has these 400 men with him, and it seems like Esav is ready for a serious confrontation, a serious fight. And the Torah records, "Vayira Yaakov ma'od vayetzer lo." That Yaakov was very, very scared, and he was vayetzer. He was feeling a very intense emotion of nervousness and worry. And then he goes on and prepares his family, and he prepares his camp. Rashi comments over here, Vayira Yaakov Mod Vayetzer, the double lashon that he was scared and nervous and worried, says Rashi, Vayira Shema Yaharig, he was worried that maybe he, Chas V'Shalom, would be killed in this confrontation, in this battle. Vayetzer lo, but he was nervous, a simultaneous emotion, a parallel emotion, im yaharog hu esacherim. He was nervous that he would have to kill others. This is Rashi quoting the Medrash, Brishas Rabbah, and Medrash Tanchuma, that brings down this idea. And Rav Moshe wonders, fine, you can understand his fear that maybe Esav will get the better of him and will kill him in this confrontation, a legitimate fear. But lechor lama yitzta'er al ze, that he would kill Esav, why would he be nervous that he would have to kill Esav? Haba'avod Rashaim Rina. There's a principle that there's a joy in the overcoming and defeating of our enemies. And additionally, if a criminal, if a person comes and attacks you unlawfully, unjustly, the Torah demands of us to take initiative, that someone comes against you, you defend yourself, defend your family, defend your children, and you are able to take his life in self-defense. So why would Yaakov be nervous and scared and worried about the possibility, the probability, that he would have to kill others? Answers of Moshe, again, a profound insight into human psychology, a profound insight into the complexity of the human experience. And perhaps, again, Moshe speaking specifically to his door and to the coming doros of Western civilization, where I think the human experience, maybe, I didn't live before my own lifetime, born in 1985, but from being a little bit of a student of history and trying to understand the world and the world of the past and the world of the present, I certainly, to some extent, feel like there are complexities in the modern reality that surpass the way life was in previous generations. That's my very, very simpleton's opinion, and feel free to take it or leave it. But Rav Moshe is commenting on a dimension of complexity that one feels in the human experience, and that's the following. Vinira. Ditzta'er al ze sha'af shehu yinatzeach, lama hu tzrach lezeh? Yaakov Avinu was nervous because, yes, even if he would win the war, why would it have to come about in a way like this? Im HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh lehitiv lo, harei yachol la'asot shelo yachshov Esav klal lilachim im Yaakov. Because God, who runs the world and is kol yachol, all capable, almighty, he could make Yaakov's Yeshua come in any number of ways. Why would it come in the way that he would have to go to war, that he would have to literally take Esav's life with his own hands. Yaakov calculated, Yaakov realized, Yaakov felt very deeply that if it would have to happen like this, if it would have to go down in this way, that he would be forced to take the life of another person, that must be a sign that there is something there, that he has some level of fault, he has some level of imperfection, he has some level of accountability in this story, because if he were to deserve the highest level of Yeshua, the highest level of Yeshua should not come in a situation where he would have to take the life of another person, which is such an incredibly traumatic and difficult thing for anybody to do, even if it is an evil person, even if it is a person who is coming after you. And Yaakov felt that so deeply and caused him a great level of stress and nervousness. And Rav Moshe compares this, and he brings another place in Chumash where we see the same motif, the same concept, and that is in Parshas Tazria, I believe, when the Torah tells us about the nigei batim, tsaras on a house, and the Torah says, I believe that the beginning of the pasuk is this is Vayikra Yudalad Lamed Dalet. The pasuk begins with v'haya ki tavo la'aretz, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. Yudalad Lamed Dalet in Parshas Tazria. Ki tavo la'aretz Kanan. And the Torah is teaching about nigei batim, and it's there where Rashi brings down from Chazal that besorahi lahem shehakananim bayim aleihem, and the whole arichas over there, that there would be treasures in the homes of the Kananim, and when they took those homes, and there was unfortunately tsaras in the houses, they would knock down those walls and find those treasures. But Rav Moshe points out again so brilliantly the complexity of that story, of that anecdote. Mikol makom nikra chote detzaras ayin. Yes, it's beautiful that they get these treasures, but it comes as a result of somebody doing something wrong and getting tzaras, or their house getting tzaras. Mishum debelo chet haya notin lekodesh baruch hu ha'otzer b'derech acher. It only happened as a result of a person sinning, as either lashon hara famously, or tzaras ayin, or negatively viewing others. Aval kevan shehu chote, but once a person did a sin, v'tzarech onesh, so he gets a punishment, namely his house has to be broken down. V'gam yishul zchus, but at the same time he has this merit, he has this gift, he has this expression of chiba from Hashem that he gets this treasure from inside of his house. Meaning it's a complex experience. Yes, on the one hand, he's getting this great treasure, but it's coming as a result of sin. If Hashem wanted to give a person a treasure in a pure and unblemished type of way, so it could have come in many other ways. But this time it's coming as a result of him having a tzaras ayin, viewing negatively other people, or speaking lashon hara, and his house having to be destroyed. That there's a complexity in this story. And I think it's so brilliant that Rav Moshe points this out in both of these stories, but here in Yaakov Avinu especially, because the human experience is complex. Even those moments where we experience great jubilation and great Yeshua's great salvations and overcoming obstacles, but a person shouldn't be blind to the downsides in any development, in any achievement. If it comes at the expense of other people, a person should be sensitive to that. Meaning, a person should be sensitive, say, for example, a person is zocha to get the job that they want and get hired at a company or get a great job that they want. But unfortunately, as a result of them getting the job, so one or any number of other people didn't get the job, and it's for them, it's a experience of pain and frustration and depression and brokenness and lost hopes and etc. So a person should be sensitive to that. You know, Yaakov Avinu is being sensitive to that. Yes, he may have this Yeshua, but it says something about himself, or it says something about the experience as a whole, that Hashem is communicating something in the fact that the Yeshua would have to come like this. And Yaakov felt pain. Yaakov felt nervous and worry and stress over the fact that his own Yeshua would have to come with such a personally challenging act of taking the life of another person, and in additionally the death of another person, right? As opposed, you know, I recall the Gemara in Brachos, the famous Gemara about Rabbi Meir and Bruria and the ruffians in their neighborhood, and Rabbi Meir wanted to daven that they all die because they were making a lot of trouble, they were making suffering, and Bruria famously said, "No, look at the pasuk says." Yitamu chatayim min haaretz, right? We don't want the people to be washed away, to be wiped away from the land. We want their sins to be wiped away around and to be wiped away. And once the sins are wiped away, then they're not rishayim, they're no more chatayim, and there's no more rishayim. Meaning they're so Bruria told him that daven that they should do tshuva, and kachav they did tshuva, and there were no more chatayim, there are no more rishayim, right? Meaning the way in which that Yeshua happened, that these ruffians, these troublemakers that were causing trouble for Rabbi Meir and for the locals, it could have happened in Rabbi Meir's plan that they die, they drop dead. But Bruria said, no, there's a higher way. There's a way that has no collateral damage. There's a way that has, you know, it's good for all. It's tov l'kulam. And if it doesn't happen like that, then a person should be sensitive to it, should be aware, should feel the imperfection of the situation, and that's certainly what Yaakov Avinu is feeling in this moment. That even if he's hoping, sincerely, deeply hoping that Hashem will give him the Yeshua that he wants, but simultaneously to him hoping and davening for that Yeshua, he's also feeling the complexity and the pain and the difficulties that may come as a result of his Yeshua. And certainly something that a real sincere Eved Hashem who's trying to grow in with all of the midos of that Hashem wants us to have, of being a merachim and being a bal chesed and being a sensitive human being, this is certainly something that we could consider in our growth and our development, to try our best to be sensitive to all of the different dimensions, all the different levels of any specific moment, and not to be very, very, focused with tunnel vision on the Yeshua, but to be able to see any potential collateral damage, chas v'shalom, or any pain or frustration that comes to others as a result of what may be good for us, and to feel discomfort, to feel frustration, because in Olam HaMetukan, it could be like Bruria, it could be exactly like Bruria. And also, I'm also reminded by the famous statement of the Malachim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu finally gives Klal Yisrael our ultimate Yeshua from Mitzrayim, and all of the Mitzrayim are drowning at the sea. And famously, we're not saying Hal on Pesach, because the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masa Yadav Tovim Bayam Atemar Mishira, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu declared, Masa Yadav Tovim Bayam Atemar Mishira. Yes, it's true, this is the most wondrous moment in Jewish history. The Jewish people are finally safe, free with liberty and freedom from oppression, freedom from the suffering and the horror that happened in Mitzrayim. But the fact that it happened with the collateral damage of an entire empire having to be put to death, drowning in the Yam Suf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't allow complete celebration at that moment. And this is a sensitivity that the Eved Hashem has. This is a sensitivity that a tzaddik has, that Yaakov Avinu is having, that Bruria is teaching us to have, that Rav Moshe Feinstein is here teaching us to have as well. Let's finish with one more idea from Parshas Vayishlach from Rav Moshe Feinstein. As the Parsha continues with the encounter between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, and after Yaakov Avinu overcomes the Malach, so the Torah famously records that Vayarki lo yacholo, Vayiga b'kaf yirecho, Vateka kaf yirech Yaakov b'yavko imo. Yaakov was struck in his thigh, in his gira nasha, and he was limping away. And the Torah records, as a result of this, the Torah records as a result of this, and now we have the mitzvah of not eating the giranasha, not eating that sinew in meat has to be removed. That would be a mitzvah for Klal Yisrael forever. And Rav Moshe Feinstein points out again another fantastic, penetrating insight. He says, "Tzarich la'avin, masha ha'zecher la'neis di Yaakov." Rav Moshe points out a miracle occurred here. Yaakov was attacked. He was attacked by this malach, and miraculously he overcame him and survived. So generally in Yiddishkeit, in very, very pivotal stories where a miracle happened, so we have a tradition, certainly very, very common, that we make a zecher l'neis. So we do something in memory of the nisim that happened, right? Pesach, Sukkot, and we remember the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Chanukah coming up in Mirtz Hashem, we remember the nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. So a neis happened here by Yaakov, and the Torah gives a zecher l'neis. But the Zecher L'Neis is fundamentally different from, Rav Moshe points out, if Rav Moshe says that it's true, but he says this is the only Zecher L'Neis, this is the only thing that we do to commemorate, to celebrate a miracle that happened, that's B'Shev V'Al Taseh, that's commemorated not with actively doing something like eating matzah, or having a yantif, or sitting in a sukkah, or lighting the Hanukkah candles, that's an active kumvaseh, going ahead and doing something to remember, to celebrate the miracle that happened. But here, the Torah asks of us, remember this neis by a shev v'al taseh, by not doing anything. Since Yaakov was able to overcome this angel, for the rest of time, Klal Yisrael will not be eating the giranasha. Meaning we're recalling and celebrating this miracle of Yaakov's victory by not doing something. And Rav Moshe wonders, that's strange. That's very out of the ordinary. If we want to recall the miracle, let's do so by actively recalling it, actively celebrating it. But here, we're passively celebrating it by not eating the giranasha. And Rav Moshe says something again, so penetrating and so beautiful, and again, I think so appropriate for the generations that he is speaking to. Says Rav Moshe, "V'ulai mishum sha'af shela'amod b'nisyonot ha'galut, hu davar gadol ma'od v'yish schar harbe al zeh." This is a little similar to the previous idea as well. Yes, it's true that it's great to overcome the malach. And Rav Moshe, the paradigm that Rav Moshe is understanding over here is that this fight between Yaakov and the malach is an expression of the fight between the Jewish people and our adversaries and our pressures and our oppressors in the generations of Gullus, the generation of exile, as represented by the interplay between Yaakov and the Saros Shel Esav. So says Rav Moshe, yes, it's true, it's wonderful, it's fantastic that we're able to overcome our oppressors and all of the difficulties that we experience in Gullus during the generations in exile. It should end in Mirtz Hashem today. And that's wonderful. Davar gadol ma'od. And yes, it's a cause for celebration. And when one is successful individually, or Jewish people nationally are successful in overcoming nisyonot, overcoming trials and tribulations in the exile generations, it's an incredible thing, and it causes for great reward and great celebration. And a person will be zocha to a lot of schar through it. Aval, however, yoter ha'inu rotzim shelo yizdamin la'nisyonot. But look at the bigger picture. Look at the bigger picture. You know what would be really cause for celebration? If we didn't have any gullus, if we didn't have any nisyonos, if we didn't have any tests, we didn't have any difficulties. Like we say every morning in Brechas Shachar, we ask Hashem, don't bring us to nisyonos. Don't put us in this situation. We don't want to be here. We want to be in Gula. We want to have Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash. We want Kibbutz Galios, Yimos HaMashiach. We want the real McCoy. We want to be in a reality, the Olam HaMetukan. We want to be how we're meant to be. The vision of the Jewish people in our homeland and the world in a state of peace and harmony and tranquility, brotherhood for all of mankind. We want the world to be the way it's meant to be. Umitpalim anu b'chol yom legalein. We daven every single day for Gula. V'lachein heve hazecher al hanes ze be'iser v'lo b'maisa. So this overcoming of Yaakov over this angel, which is a ma'aseh avosim labanim, which is a foreshadowing and an expression of the overcoming of the Jewish people or an individual Jew over the oppression, over oppressors, over challenges and difficulties throughout the generations of Galus, throughout the generations of exile, yes, it's a wonderful thing, but it's not a reason to party. It's not a reason to make a yantif. And perhaps one would need to check me out, but I think Rav Schechter famously points out, Rav Schechter Shlita points out that all of the Yamim Tovim and Chazal as well, who instituted Chanukah and Purim, all Yamim Tovim and Doraisa and Durabanan, they all focus around Eretz Yisrael or the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Pesach coming back to Eretz Yisrael, Mamet Har Sinai, Shavuos, the Shtei Halechem, Sukkot, the journey of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael, and Chanukah, the rededication of the Mikdash, Purim, the ability to come back. This is Rav Schechter famously said it by Purim, that Purim is different because it's Gullus, it's a Yeshua in Gullus. So you could ask Rav Moshe's Kasha on Purim, but Rav Schechter answered, no. The Iker Simcha in Purim, the reason why Chazal were able to be attacking the Yantiv Derabanan of Purim is why? Because it opened the gates. It was the foreshadowing, but it was the precursor of the opening of the gates for the Klal Yisrael to be able to come back in the days of Bayis Sheni and build the second Beis Hamikdash and rebuild Yerushalayim in the second Commonwealth. That's Rav Schechter's famous Chiddush over there by Purim, so beautifully. But Rav Moshe is saying over here the flip side of that. So you beat the angel of Gullus. Okay, so for that we'll remember it by not eating the Gira Nasha. But we're not going to make a yantif. We're not going to make a mitzvah to remember it because it's just a hechitimsa. It's just a survival. You survived. It's not a cause for celebration by the fact that you survived in the exile experience. We don't want to be in Gullus, right? It's a cause for celebration when we have Kibbutz Gullios, when we have the ingathering of the exiles back here to Eretz Yisrael. It's a cause for celebration when we rebuild the Beis Hamikdash, or we do a step towards the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash. It's a cause for celebration when there's Malchus reestablished here in Eretz Yisrael. It's a cause for celebration when there are Geula Dika experiences. But the simple overcoming and survival against the oppression of Gullus is not a cause for celebration. And that's why Rav Moshe says that the kiyum here, the zecher l'neis over here, is a sheva al tase, is just a passive not eating the gid anasha, not eating that sinew in the thigh of the animals. And concludes Rav Moshe, l'horos sha'af she'inyan gadol mo'od. Yes, it's great. It is a big deal to overcome all of our adversaries and overcome all of our obstacles throughout Gullus. However, ein anu rotzim bazeh. We would rather not have them at all. We'd rather be in a matzav of geula. We'd rather not even have those challenges. K'da'amar al yisurin lohen velo scharan. Like the Gemara says regarding the person who experiences yisurin lo aleinu, difficulties and pain and suffering, and even though yisurin have positive outcomes, but really it should be, we want a reality that no person or the Jewish people as a whole never have to experience any pain and suffering whatsoever. If they do happen, we should take them with love. We should take them with the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is helping us and guiding us and helping us grow, etc., and becoming stronger and more developed. However, the reason why this nace of the overcoming of Yaakov Avinu, of the angel over here, is not marked by zecher l'neis of any sort of celebration, any sort of yantiv, is because we'd rather not have it at all. We'd rather be in a reality of geula, of Malchus Yisrael, of coming back to Eretz Yisrael, binyan Yerushalayim, and I think this is a very, 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 very critical mentality that a Jew should live with in the exile, geographic exile as well as historic exile. We've been zocher to see many incredible things the Jewish people have built communities and neighborhoods, shuls and schools and institutions and entire empires of Torah, empires of Yiddishkeit. And that's great, and it's giving us the ability to survive during generations of exile, but let's not lose focus. Let's make sure, like Rav Moshe is teaching us over here, that so we're surviving. That's not a cause for a yantif that we're surviving. It's a cause for a yantif when we come back here to Eretz Yisrael, when the Gullus is over, when there's a kibbutz Gullios, when we have the ingathering of the exiles, and we see the ultimate binyan of Yerushalayim, we should be zocher to see it b'mehir b'yameinu. Amen. Have a beautiful Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael will continue our learning next week.